Now let's go back to shame on the two sides of the fall. The reason we today cover our sexual organs when someone accidentally barges into the bathroom and sees us naked is because we do not want them to lust after us. We do not want to be used like someone in the porn industry. Sexual shame strongly suggests the worst thing about lust is to be used. Namely, I am reduced to an object instead of respected as a person. Before the fall, the Pope insists, genuine love of Adam and Eve absolutely excluded the possibility of using another person because Adam and Eve were a gift to each other. The words gift and love are interchangeable in the lexicon of the theology of the body. Indeed, the Holy Father would go another step and maintain that Adam and Eve saw each other like God saw them. He explains, listen to this. This reciprocal vision of each other is not only a share in the exterior perception of the world, but also has an inner dimension of a share in the vision of the Creator himself, God. In that vision, about which the account of Genesis 1 speaks several times, and here he quotes Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. Nakedness signifies the original good of the divine vision. In other words, when we see another person's naked body like God sees it, we understand original nakedness. Think of how a father or mother would look at the naked body of their baby, even if that baby were 30 years old. They would not feel an ounce of lust, but only overwhelming love. And God sees us with infinitely more love than our parents. In my church office, there hangs a large painting of the Last Judgment by the Renaissance master Michelangelo, which covers that painting, the back wall of the Sistine Chapel. Imagine this entire back wall being that painting. On April 8, 1994, Pope St. John Paul II celebrated Mass in the newly restored chapel, the Sistine Chapel, with now its stunning and brilliant frescoes, recently renovated. In that homily, John Paul complimented Michelangelo's genius, saying this, "It seems that Michelangelo, in his own way, allowed himself to be guided by the evocative words of the book of Genesis, which, as regards the creation of the human being, male and female, reveals the man and his wife were both naked, yet they felt no shame." The Sistine Chapel, he goes on, is precisely, if one may say so, the sanctuary of the theology of the human body. In case you don't know, most of the human figures in that painting are naked, like Adam and Eve were. And the Pope invites us to see them, and indeed all people, through the eyes of God. That is, naked, without shame. There's a delightful little controversy that erupted when Michelangelo decided to paint nude figures in the Sistine Chapel. The Pope's master of ceremonies back in the 1500s was a man named Biagio de Cesena, who vigorously objected. He said, "It is most disgraceful that in so sacred a place there should have been depicted all these nude figures exposing themselves so shamefully." and that it was no work for a papal chapel, but rather for the public baths and taverns. But Michelangelo got the last laugh, because he painted Sisenna's face on the figure of Minos, the judge of the underworld. And there is a snake coiling around Minos's body, and the snake's head is devouring his, you guessed it. In other words, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were naked, without shame. Whereas in hell, people are clothed with snakes instead of fig leaves. That is, this is the consequence of not learning how to pronounce the third syllable of Christ's first word, original nakedness. In summary, Pope St. John Paul II has assiduously studied Christ's first word about our origins in the Garden of Eden. In his Theology of the Body, he taught us that Christ's first word had in fact three syllables: original solitude, original unity, and original nakedness. We must agree wholeheartedly with the Pope Saint when he reflects in awe, saying, "We were able to realize how vast was the context of a sentence or even a word spoken by Christ." But thus far, we have only learned how to pronounce Christ's first word about our origins in Eden. We must still consider his third word about our destiny in heaven, and then return to explore Christ's second word about our earthly pilgrimage. Praised be Jesus Christ.